Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me on today's show is Chris Andrews, sportsbook director at the South Point. He is also the author of Then One Day, 40 Years of Bookmaking in Nevada, a book that I read and I highly recommend. It was amazing. You can follow him on Twitter at Andrews Sports. Chris, great to have you back on the show.
My pleasure, Rob. Always a pleasure.
So first off, can you give us some perspective in what things are like right now in Nevada and your world now that we have sports back?
Well, I mean, it's a real sea change. I've been checking daily as our handle as compared to last year at this time, just for this month of August. And we've been consistently double. Last year, you know, when we had baseball, obviously we had football, but we didn't have hockey. We didn't have NBA basketball. So we have been double the handle almost on a daily basis. And the response has been terrific. Business has been fantastic. So no complaints on that end from me.
One of the things that I think has been a huge victory for me as a sports fan has been games going on during the day. So we've got NBA games, we've got MLB games. Sometimes we even have hockey games going on there. Yeah. How much of an effect do you think that has? Because all of a sudden we were traditionally used to games at night, and now 1 p.m. gets here and it's like, all right, let's get this party started.
Yeah, I'm looking today. I'm a little disappointed. We don't have any hockey till this evening, but we did start with an early basketball game. And you're right. We've had like, I think 9 a.m. and 9:30 face-offs for hockey. And that's been great. So it's really, if bookmakers were going to design a schedule, it would probably look pretty close to exactly what we have right now. It's been terrific.
Can you imagine that there could be an opportunity for something like this to stick in some capacity, where I know traditionally we're seeing the games at night, but look how much more accessible it has become. And when we think about this always attention world with social media, not everyone's going to watch Bucks Magic, but guess what? If Bucks Magic is on at 3 o'clock, all of a sudden you've just gained a new audience, new sports bettors, which can become new revenue for the leagues and the players and the teams.
Well, you know, all of society is changing right now. And I think what we're seeing with a lot of people working at home, not all of them are going to go back to the office. And we found out, I think, you know, as a very broad statement, I think a lot of people have found out that guys can do their work, maybe not 9 to 5, maybe not in their office. And if that frees up a lot of time on a personal level, I think the leagues would be foolish to at least not look into having games spread out during the day like this. Cause you know, I don't know about you, but during the summer when we have day baseball, that's fantastic. It's great for the fans. It's certainly great for betting. I can tell you that. And hopefully they would capitalize on that and continue to do so.
For sure. Living in Chicago, there's nothing more enjoyable than going to a 1:35 p.m. Cubs game in Wrigley on a Friday where you're like, let's cut out early, watch some day baseball and have a good time.
Well, it's great for us, too, I can tell you that. It always adds a little something to the day when you got that midday game to sweat. It is just it's one of the little pleasures in life.
And that is one of the pleasures in life, is being able to sweat again, where we were doing golf and UFC and it wasn't as big, but now it's like it's a consistent daily, multiple times a day sweat. And I just love it. And I love being part of the community, having everybody just jamming on social media and Twitter about the bets that they have going on, because that's what I think I missed most about sports, aside from watching it, was being able to see everybody else talking about sports.
Well, yeah, really, that's really, I mean, there's a lot of downside to Twitter. There's no doubt about it. But one of the good things is when you're watching the game, you're sweating the game, and, you know, there's a couple hundred other guys doing the exact same thing as you, you know, and, you know, one side's cursing the guy for giving up the home run pitch, and the other guy's cheering because the guy hit the home run. So that's just the nature of sports. And, you know, there is kind of a community. And like I said, there's some downside to Twitter, no doubt, but that's part of the upside.
So this week we saw a crazy streak of favorites across multiple sports covering. It was something like 20-1, where all of a sudden the sports betting community is like, what's going on right here? And immediately the next day, the dogs came back with some fire. And I'm curious from your perspective, is something like a day of 20 favorites covering just an outlier, or is there something in the changing times between the bubble and no fans, or is there something we can actually take from that?
Well, first of all, Rob, I thought we were friends, but you were rubbing that salt in the wounds on that day. I don't think it has anything to do with the bubble and the COVID. I don't think. I don't know. I would need convincing that it does. I think it was just one of those things. Listen, I've been doing this for 40 years. There's days that are just statistically almost inexplainable. But when you do something long enough, it will happen. And that was just one of those days. And I went into my boss, and, you know, he was looking at the figures, and he was just kind of making fun of me. You know, I mean, I thought I was going to get called on the carpet, and, you know, but he was just making fun of me. And really, I would say any bookmaker that didn't lose on that day, you probably don't have a very healthy business, because that's where your business is built around guys like that. And they like to bet a lot of favorites. And, you know, I had a talk with my guys. I says, listen, you know, the grind on a bookmaker's part, the grind is in our favor. Don't do anything differently. Just keep booking the way we know we're supposed to. And we had a good day the next day. Didn't make it all back, certainly, no doubt. But, you know, just I always say, don't cry for the bookmaker. We'll be fine at the end of the year.
So if you were to see something like that happen with slightly more consistency, so I know this was an outlier, but what if all of a sudden it happened again in the next month, and then maybe the following month it happened again, and maybe it's just one of 30 days, but something where more of a pattern were to occur. And I know you guys are always adjusting. How would something that extreme, knowing how much everything is changing, how would you guys sort of deal with that?
Well, we deal with it from an odd standpoint, and I think that is actually a valid argument that you can make, that kind of the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And we see that all through our college sports. We see it in pro sports too. But we adjust as bookmakers. Like right now, I'm looking at my NFL power ratings. There's a pretty big disparity from the top to the bottom, more so than in most years. Now, as we go through the season, you know, that may accentuate or it may shrink. You know, we don't know. I'm just guessing right now. But we see it in college football too. I forget what run Clemson was on, where they were just massacring everybody. And we couldn't make the price high enough. And, you know, teams like Akron, you couldn't make the number high enough against them, you know. But that is our job as bookmakers. We do see that, but I would even say that's not really an aberration. Going back, it goes in flows, and there's a lot of parity, a lot of mediocrity at times, and then other times it gets spread out. I think we're in a period right now where it's spread out, but as bookmakers, it's our job to adjust to that.
I know you have fundamentals when creating these lines, but when you say we cannot make this line high enough, and I think back to when the Browns were terrible, and it was just like you'd always hear that, oh, the sharp action would be on the Browns because there's just so much value there and you can't make that number high enough. But hypothetically speaking, what would stop you from not even getting into the plus 20s, where you take something that doesn't even make sense, but you're like, this team is so bad. Like, where does an outlier start to become, well, what if you just made the Browns plus 35 one time? I know that makes no sense whatsoever, but that's almost like the extreme of what you would have to do to get the general public to even consider the Browns. Like, does that even come into a possibility, as opposed to, we know historically we're not double-digit dogs in general, and now we're getting over two touchdowns. If we get to plus 20, it's like, holy smokes.
Well, that's a little extreme what you're talking about.
You said no number could be high enough.
But, you know, in the NFL, you can almost always find wise guys who are looking at the value. And I say, thank God for the wise guys, a couple of those years. Well, that was the only way we could, we couldn't beg, borrow, or steal money on the Browns from the general public. But we usually had the wise guys coming in and taking a piece of them. Now, college can be a little bit different. Now, I'm obviously a lot older than you, but guys that were, you know, my age can remember back to the 70s when you had some of those teams like, you know, Oklahoma, Nebraska, college football I'm talking about. I mean, some of those numbers were in the 50s. I mean, they were astronomical. And, you know, on their side of it, I remember they were asking Barry Switzer about it. And he says, listen, we run our offense. Our offense is a running offense. Once we build up a big lead, I start putting in the substitutes. But what do we want me to do? Start passing the ball? I mean, we run. That's what we do. And just the other team couldn't stop them. And some of those numbers, I mean, I can remember, you know, Nebraska and Oklahoma winning by 70 some days, you know, and those numbers were huge. So we don't see that right now. But that's what I'm saying. What we're seeing is not really an aberration. It seems like it may be from some of you younger guys, but for guys like us, we've seen this a little bit before. And like I said, the bookmaker will adjust. And you usually find that breaking point where guys will come in and take that number. They see the value and they'll grab it. And they got as good a chance of winning as anybody else.
Let's stick with college football, a sport I absolutely love and that I'm super excited for. But there's right now a lot of uncertainty about college football, what leagues and teams are going to be playing. Some say they will, some say that they're not going to. I'm curious from your perspective, how are you preparing for college football? And are you starting to see any form of interest from bettors in wanting to bet college football?
Oh, yeah, they're chomping at the bit. And I said from the beginning, once all this started, I mean, you know, way back in, what, March, I guess, when this really, really started taking a foothold, we only need a couple conferences. And I say that, you know, and I feel a little guilty, very selfishly I'm saying this, because I have a daughter in college, you know, and I talked to her either yesterday or the day before. She has two labs that she has to go on campus and take in a classroom, but the rest she's taken online. And I'm happy. I almost wish she didn't have those two labs, but she has to take them. So selfishly, from my business standpoint, I want as many teams to play as possible. But I know that is selfish. Now, I hope they can do it all very safely. And it seems like some of the protocols that they have in effect, I think will work if they follow them. But I have five kids, and I know this is my youngest that's still in school, so I know what happens to kids that age. They don't always follow the protocols. I'm hoping with a coach and, you know, a multitude of coaches and, you know, administrators and whatever, really looking after these kids that are playing football, you know, I'm hoping most of them can follow those protocols and stay safe throughout the season. So I'm sure they'll start. I'm 99% sure they'll start. I hope they can finish. And I think, like I said, if they follow the protocols that are in place right now, I think they can and will finish.
How are you thinking about the transfer of information or a lack thereof? So with reporters not getting as much access to teams and or potentially not being on sidelines, all of a sudden – someone getting information before someone else does becomes a big advantage. And certainly you want to be as informed as possible with everything there. Is there a potential opportunity for bettors to find small gaps to where they could take advantage of due to the lack of information that is out there about who's going to be starting, players that may or may not be on the team anymore, things like that?
Well, I think you have an extremely valid point, because information has always been the key. Who gets it first? How soon is it distributed? And, you know, it's always been a problem. And I think right now we tried to kind of cover that with the fact that it's been legal now in so many states, that there were things in place that they were to try to keep us all informed at the same rate. But now with this COVID stuff, I think that's going to be almost impossible. I think things will leak out. And from their side of it, you know, these are, I forget the pros, these are college kids. So there's some HIPAA stuff involved that, you know, maybe people don't want to know that their kid has the COVID or something like that. But, you know, if he's, you know, the third string guard, it might not mean much, but if he's a starting quarterback, it can mean a hell of a lot. So those are things we have to be very aware of, careful of. You know, I always told my guys, you know, for years, I said, don't move on air. You got to get a bet. Don't move on air. But this year I said, we might need to move on air sometime because I think there's going to be some information out there that maybe we're a little slow to get. So we may want to move a little more quickly this year than we have in the past.
Let's keep things with football. The NFL looks like it's going to start on time. I'm super excited about all of it. Once again, what is the interest like in the NFL? Because this looks like it could be the first normal sequence that us as sports fans come to see.
Well, again, I talked about the handle. You know, we were always, in the last couple of years since I've been at South Point, we tried to be first out with college football season win totals. We put out the whole gamut, 130 teams, whatever we're playing. This year we didn't do that, and I think it was wise not to do that. But a lot of that money went over to the pros, and I'm looking at our pro handle on season win totals has just been fantastic. And I also have taken all 32 teams and matched them up with someone else. And I tried to have a, you know, kind of like Pittsburgh versus Philly, you know, the Battle of Pennsylvania. You know, some things like that, out of division, certainly, and out of conference as much as I could. And I had those matchups as well. And we've gotten a ton of business on those too, which is kind of, you know, it's like, let's say Philly was, I think, a half a game favorite over Pittsburgh. You know, so I tried to match them up, like I said, as close to the, you know, a pick 'em number as I could get. And the response to that has just been terrific too. So all that money that we did miss for college season win totals, I don't want to say all of it, but let's just say a high percentage of it has wound up with the NFL season win totals.
You mentioned the disparity potentially between the high-end teams and the low-end teams. And I think one thing that can really stand out to me is the teams who have some elements of change, whether it's a coach or a quarterback. So you see, for example, Tampa Bay, everyone's very easy to fall into the narrative of, oh my goodness, they're going to be amazing, except for the fact that Tom Brady's in a brand new system and everyone around them is brand new. You look at Carolina, a team that is probably more on the low end. You've got a new coach, you've got a new quarterback. And what are your thoughts on teams that, from looking at them, you can see where they might struggle early, as opposed to a team like the Saints, where there's a little bit more consistency and continuity year after year?
Well, I think in this year, I think that's an excellent point. Again, you mentioned the Saints. You know, I'm a big Steeler fan. I'm from Pittsburgh. Watch the Steelers. They have a lot of continuity as well from last year. I think those are two teams that are very much poised to, you know, be in contention or win a Super Bowl. You know, same with some of the key guys, you know, Baltimore, Kansas City, the defending champs, San Francisco. A lot of those teams held their team in place, did a very good job of doing that. And that's really one of the reasons why we see such disparity, at least in my power ratings. And a lot of people agree with me. You know, Carolina, I think, is going to struggle. Jacksonville is going to struggle. You know, teams like that have had a high turnover of players, had turnover in the coaching staff. I think they face some very interesting challenges this year that, you know, the cream will rise to the top eventually. But, you know, new coaches are usually not a very good bet, you know, usually better off betting against them. Because you think of this situation, why is there a new coach? Well, because we had problems with the old coach. And so that some of those guys obviously turn out to be great, but I always say the same thing. They all sound great on the way in. They don't sound so great on the way out. So just be careful with that.
One of the things, though, is you obviously know that some teams have continuity and some teams are in change, and the line is going to be reflective of that. So often someone's going to look at the line and be like, oh my God, Carolina, let's not take them because they're going to be terrible. Or the Saints saying, oh, they have so much continuity, but you guys already know that, so you're going to be building that in. So how much does that actually come into play? Like, do you almost – make Saints lines a little bit higher, knowing that the default for the general public is the Saints are more consistent? Oh, I wonder if Vegas doesn't know that this is a thing. Like, just like you said, we can't make the numbers high enough. Well, how much is that actually going to come into play in your lines in terms of juicing them up and down because of those exact reasons?
Well, once again, we always have, you know, we have the public bettors, but we, you know, we have the wise guys that keep us honest, you know, I was in finance for a little while, and they always said, you know, the shorts do their homework. They always keep you honest in the stock market. It's kind of the same in sports betting. Guys that are out there looking for value, they know there's a number out there that they could take. You know, and I always, you know, a guy like will come and say, you can't make a number high enough. I said, okay, would you take 100? Well, yeah, I'd take 100. Okay, so we know it's somewhere between pick 'em and 100. Okay, we know that. Now, where is it? Is it 14? Is it 17? Is it 35? I don't know. Let's see what we can find out. So that's kind of, that's the process. They do win by a certain number, and that number is going to determine whether you win or lost. But the other thing I always tell people is don't forget, you're an NFL football player. Do you have anybody from Little League or Pop Warner or anything that made the pros? Who, you know, anybody? That kid was darn good. He dominated your field of play. Well, you got 53 of those on the football field. And maybe that quarterback isn't as good as Tom Brady. You know what? But that kid was probably pretty damn good in high school and all that other stuff, and even in college. And now he's making $1 million or a couple million bucks being a quarterback of an NFL team. He's probably pretty good. And can they jump up one time and beat you? Well, hell yeah, they can. I mean, just look at the box scores on any day of the year, and you see these upsets that happen, and in all sports. And it can happen in football. It happens a little less in football because just the nature of the game. But can it happen? Yeah. And can they cover? Well, yeah, certainly they could cover. Yeah.
Which is a great segue to the NBA and upsets, because we saw in game one, both the Bucks and Lakers lose. But one of the things for sports bettors is the zigzag theory. The team that loses the first game, boom, you go and bet them the second game. And of course, you know that as well. So is there a little bit of a juiced up line for a team like the Bucks or the Lakers on the back end where you're like, well, the Bucks are going to come out smoking in game two because they're going to reestablish themselves as the best team in the NBA?
Well, I think that, you know, we do know that. And a lot of bettors know that too. And it does get reflected in the number. There's no doubt. I'm looking at the Laker price tonight. That really isn't much different. It's still 6.5, which is what they were the other day. Bucks are 13 over the Magic. Again, pretty close to the other number. But, that's a lot of wood to cover in the NBA. I mean, you can never be in the game and cover a 13. The 6.5 on the Lakers, I think that's very interesting because really, I was on another show before the Laker game, and I said, always be careful of that popular underdog, which the Blazers certainly were. But they proved that they were pretty good, and the Lakers have not played well since they've come back from the COVID. You know, the Bucks have been a little inconsistent themselves. The Blazers have played terrific ball, and the Lakers really have not. So maybe that is an upset possibility, but I do offer that warning. Be careful of the very public dog, because a lot of times that does not show up. And I can tell you, I'm looking tonight. Looks like we got a little bit more on the Lakers so far, but nothing too drastic.
What concerns me about the Blazers is their defense. That going into this, that was the weakness of why you wouldn't want to take them against the Lakers. I'm also curious on this. So we see one amazing game out of Portland, but we learn not to fall in love with the result of one game, because even in the NFL, I actually like the inverse. When a team does good or bad, let's do the opposite the following day, which is why we like the zigzag theory. But how much is this team could hang around all series as opposed to, listen, things worked out right for them in one game?
Well, therein lies the rub. Yeah, Lillard's been fantastic. And really, he's been fantastic for a while. He's finally got like a pretty decent squad around him. And I think we're seeing that maybe the Lakers don't have such a great squad. I mean, they got Davis along with LeBron. They got Ariza,
Kuzma,
who's another terrific player. But after that, there's a pretty big drop-off in talent, you know. I don't know. I that's a very interesting one. You know, I grew up on the East Coast, so I have, Laker hatred in my bones from the days back of Russell versus Wilt. You know, that's a long time ago. So I don't often root for the Lakers, but I might have to root for them in this series because we got a lot of money on the Blazers.
Last thing I want to ask you about is the NHL. What sort of action are you seeing there with the NHL? Because they jumped right into the playoffs right there. The NBA had a little bit of a ramp up. And as a hockey fan, the NHL playoffs are my favorite playoffs in the world because it is so final and it is amazing. What sort of handle are you guys seeing on the NHL playoffs?
Well, first of all, personally, let me echo what you said, because I grew up in Pittsburgh and, you know, Penguins, had some decent teams back then, but I went to Stanley Cup games. And I remember telling guys, you know, I've been to Super Bowls. I've been to NBA playoff games. I've been to World Series games. There is nothing like a Stanley Cup game. There really isn't. Every check gets finished in the corner. Every guy is, you know, we don't see the fights like we used to, but boy, I mean, that game has a lot of violence in it. And those guys hit you with some meaning. When I got to South Point in 2016, so we didn't have the nights at the time, it was always a struggle every day to get, you know, I wanted to have at least a couple TVs on. We got a whole bunch of them, but every day I'd have to fight with people, you know, because we had a lot of customers from Chicago, Detroit, Pittsburgh, New York, Boston, you know, that whole northeastern corridor. And I said, you know, it's a great sport. Just people got to kind of get used to it. And then when the Knights came in, that has changed the betting market tremendously, not just with the Knights, because it certainly did with that. But people have had a chance to see this game, root for it, kind of understand it. And now our handle in hockey, just it went through the roof a couple years back when the Knights first landed, and it's really maintained. And right now I hear so much cheering during the day, especially when some of those games are on. And like I said, they're just so intense, and you know, and that kind of filters down to the customers betting wise and rooting and all that other stuff. And I'm just so happy with what has happened to hockey, you know, market wise for us. And I'm a little disappointed the Penguins didn't play a little better this year, but in the playoffs anyway. But it's been terrific for us, and really one of the growths in our industry that we've seen. And I think we're going to maintain it for a while, because really it is a great game. You grew up in Chicago, you know, I mean, it's a terrific, terrific game.
Well, so I grew up in Pittsburgh. I am also a Penguins fan, but I've lived in Chicago for the last 10 years.
I didn't know that. I thought you were from Chicago. You know, I forgot that you told me that before.
I'm a Yinzer. I bleed black and gold. So my heart is aching right now. Put on some Celine Dion, because this puppy is hurting. And quick side note, sometimes sports doesn't make logical sense. And the best way I can describe that is the Penguins have won 3 cups under Crosby and Malkin. At the same time, they have had inexplicable playoff exits that just make you scratch your head. But you would rather be no other franchise over this time, aside from the Blackhawks, who have also had their own struggles. And sometimes I just have to chalk it up to the game. And you're like, listen, anomalies happen. You don't understand it, and it is what it is.
I remember the Boston series. God, I don't think I could come up with the year when Patrice Bergeron just killed us. I think we had 4 games, and we might have 2 goals. You know, they just buried us that year. And I remember thinking, "Oh man, is this the end for these guys?" Man, it wasn't. You know, but like you said, and I look at that Blackhawks team, like you mentioned, there's a couple really, really good players on that team. And I guess they're trying to re-sign Crawford to a big deal. And, you know, I mean, I have a feeling the Blackhawks will probably make some good moves. And I'm pretty confident that the Penguins will do the same. So I haven't lost hope. It's a little disappointing this year. But, you know, that's, like you said, it is what it is. It's the way it goes. We'll survive. And we got 3 cups. We have 2 from the Lemieux days. You know, not a bad run for my lifetime, I can tell you that.
I will be back watching NHL Center Ice, the first game that it has, because I love sports. I love hockey. It's in my blood. Chris, love jamming with you. Where can everybody connect with you?
On Twitter, you can find me at Andrews Sports. You know, my book is available on Amazon. That's probably the easiest way to find it. Just look at my name, or, you know, the title of the book is Then One Day. I have a link. I have a pinned tweet with a link to the book. If you follow me on Twitter, very easy to get. And when you get it, come by the South Point. I'll be more than happy to sign it for you. Say hello. I can't give you a hug or even shake your hand at this point in time, but maybe we can do that again someday. And some other people mailed me the book with a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll send it back to you signed. And hopefully we'll get through all this stuff. And a year from now, we'll look back and say, geez, remember we had to deal with all that crap? And, you know, keep my fingers crossed. Hopefully we can get to that point.
And I want to hear from you. What has your sports betting action been like over the last few weeks? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Make sure to use hashtag Sharp600 and be part of our community. And also make sure to tag at Covers. And I love giving shout outs to anybody who subscribes, rates, and reviews to the podcast on iTunes. Today, I got to show some love to DreamWorld. Gave us 5 stars that said informative and entertaining. Get this, Chris. He said, I definitely don't have the stomach to do sports betting, but I find it absolutely fascinating. So I love the show. Thank you guys so much for what you do. And the best way that I could probably describe that is read Chris's book, because it is great for storytelling. So even if you were not a sports bettor, you could get entertainment. So I'm happy that someone could listen to this, even if they don't bet on sports. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level attempt. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.